Okay, thanks everybody, and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Dr. Cowan and Friends. Although recently what I found out about the word doctor, which means to change things in a nefarious way, right? When you doctor a document or doctor somebody's food. So I don't know if I'm going to keep that moniker anymore. But anyways, Tom and Friends. And today I have a new friend, Stacy Claxton, and we are thrilled to have her joining our new biology clinic. And just a brief word before I let Stacy introduce herself. I don't know if you've seen my podcasts or whatever they call these, but I don't really do like you went to Brown or whatever. I don't really care about or even nowadays, I don't care much about, whether you're a nephrologist or just somebody off the street. For me, it's just who you are and what you do. But the way it works is people join the clinic and they become a member. It's a little bit on the PMA type model, although it's not exactly like that, but we're working on it. And they essentially choose one of the doctors as their what you might call primary care person. So that's their essentially doctor point person. And then they being a member gives the member access to various what we're calling enrichment services, which come along with the membership, which are group sessions, and that includes working with movement, strength training, primal movement with Pat, and do it. We have a group meditation and biofield tuning, and Stacy will describe will be one of those people who's offering group sessions. Then, since you may end up thinking, "Wow, this really helped me a lot being in the group," maybe if I talk to Stacy or Tatiana individually once or a few times, that might actually be really fun and even help more. And so then you have that option, and then people end up they pay a little bit extra for that. It's not part of the general membership. So that's basically how it works. And we're filling up our calendar with options of people of what people can do. And me and the rest of the people who are choosing what to offer are choosing things that help people's lives. It's not about curing a disease. Even interesting, when you cure something, you preserve it. So if you cure a disease, that means you keep it going. We don't want to do that. We're talking about helping people's lives. And I think what you'll hear today, and think about this as a hypothesis. The hypothesis is how we do is affected by our emotional health, right? And I don't know if there's anybody out there who actually thinks that's not true, but if they do, they might want to think about it a little more because it seems pretty obvious to me. So anyways, with that, Stacy, if you could tell us a little bit who you are and what you would be offering and what you do, and kind of, really, I like what it would actually look like for a person to do this, and what might they expect or possibly experience doing this. So again, welcome. We're thrilled to have you with part of our group, and tell us what you're doing and all that.
Thank you, Tom, and I'm thrilled to be here and part of the clinic as well. And I loved in your introduction that you brought in the power of words, whether it's with doctor as a verb and cure as a verb, and what it really means, because that's fundamentally at the heart of what we do with emotional energetic work. We get to the language of communication, communication in the body, the words that we're using, the choices that we're making by nature of what we're saying and speaking over ourselves. So thank you for
I'm going to stop
premising
you
that.
there. This lecture I heard, there was a clip from Noam Chomsky, who's a famous linguist, and he actually made the case that language actually makes communication worse. And that wasn't the point of language. It seems to have been a way to translate our thoughts. And anyways, so there may be a better way to communicate with people. And I think that's part of what you're going to be talking about. So I had to interrupt there for a minute, but
It exactly is. And I love interruptions because they're like little footnotes and footnotes explaining words and language concepts, ideas. And language, just like that, is something that we get to choose and a communication strategy that may or may not involve words. And I'm definitely going to get to that and why I'm here and who I am. And so, speaking to your initial question of who am I, apart from any sort of credentialing or experience in an established way, I am at heart a synergist. And I love that word, that word choice of synergy, because I'm here, and that's partly what I'll be contributing to in the clinic to create synergy, this harmonious, beneficial interaction between constituents, elements, people, ideas that enhances the system, that brings a greater sense of collaboration and cooperation and even coevolution. And so, if you ask who am I at heart, it really is a synergist. And I get to do that in so many different ways in the work that I do. And one of the ways is really playing with and experiencing things like language and then also mathematics or things that we tend to equate as polar opposites or at least complements in this scheme of what it's like to experience life. And so, for example, in the realm of language, I am looking for, listening for what clients, whether it's an individual client session or a group session, what these amazing people are expressing through their words, what they're saying, what word choices they're making, and what is kind of the poetic nature of that, and where is really the opportunity? So I often see words and communication in client work and professional work, both from a diagnostic perspective as well as a therapeutics perspective. And as someone who is very tuned into the poetry and the language of life, that's one of my fascinations and joys. I get to hear those words and feel their vibration and see, is this a roadblock that the psyche is bringing up to actually be understood and seen and felt and explored? Or is this a clue to a therapeutic opportunity where speaking this word and this vibration or this resonance is going to create greater harmony in the system? And that really is a synergy between me and the person and between the language of the body and the life force being expressed through voice and vocalization. Voice is so powerful. And so the work that I do does involve the body, the synergy of being with the physical presence that we manifest in this human plane and with how that's expressed through sound. And from a fundamental perspective, and I won't bring in too much of the different modalities, but I have studied Ayurveda. That was one of my primary modalities, and sound is the first, it's the first element, the first expression. And so using words and sounds and the communication of the body is foundational. And then weaving in the sound, the story from an artistic, creative, inspired way, because essentially that's what it is. The body is telling us things. Sometimes the signal is pain. Sometimes it's a vocalization. Sometimes it's a groan or an expression or a certain word that we keep saying or hearing or feeling. It really is a poetic, inspired expression of what the body is trying to communicate. And so allowing me and the client, the person, the group, the field to create this artistic dance and then bring in the mathematical, the more pattern orientation. And this goes
What was the
beyond
word? The mut more what
more
oriented?
mathematical. So I'm bringing kind of the linguistic and the mathematical, the synergy of the two in working with people. And that's kind of my framework for seeing the world. And it goes beyond the simple reality that I studied. I have college degrees in both mathematics and language. And I
Is that
love
right?
the way the two wind together, because it is this spiral, this interaction of, yes, we have the poetry and the sound and the communication, and then there's a precision to numbers and patterns and frequencies and the cyclical nature of an organism or even the seasons in nature. And so part of my role as someone who's very curious, a synergist, and someone who is looking for the clues is to say, okay, where are the ages, the dates, the numbers being represented in the body or the life story, and because often those provide very rich information, lots of rich information into what the body's holding on to. And so, for example, when I'm working with trauma in the body and things that are really held in the system, often anniversaries and dates on the calendar and ages, or even children's ages, are information and possibilities to say, okay, there's a connection here. These are mathematical clues. And the body, and you know this full well, having studied in your medical history, the body and all of its expressions, there is an exquisite beauty and the mathematical precision to the way that the body is designed. And so part of my role as a health practitioner and someone who knows the body, but also someone who knows the emotional body, is to look for those function and structure and global mathematical cues that can then intertwine with the linguistic and biological life story of the unique individual in front of me. And that really is
That
a
sounds a lot
perspective.
like the idea about that I have worked with. I mean, that we are frozen music. And music is very mathematical. You know, there are certain frequencies that work and certain ones that don't. And even down to the bones, you know, are based on, you know, octaves and, you know, our teeth. We have four sets of eight teeth, which is the octave, you know. And then when we're babies, we have four sets of five teeth, and we use the pentatonic scale to communicate and connect with children. So yes, frozen music.
I love that. And yet frozen, and then speaking to what you talk about with the different phases of water and how the heart works, and that we can actually navigate between all of them. And air contains water, and yet we need air to a certain degree and water to a certain degree. And there's a balance such that heat and temperature and fluidity is possible. So at some point, being frozen is supportive, and that's why I support the nervous system in whatever expression it's presenting. And a freeze response can be helpful. The music being protected or stagnant or in a certain structural form at a certain time can be exactly what that system needs to survive. And then as we move into emotional and energetic regulation with some of the tools that I bring into my practice, there's a capacity to maybe play a few notes and to explore that music and eventually maybe create a song, because we are equipped to create not only a life song with our body, our voice, our vitality, our gifts that we offer to a world. We can be a whole orchestra. And then when we work in synergy with others in our field, whether it's to other people or, you know, other systems and experiences in nature, it really amplifies exponentially that capacity to be a living orchestra. So I love that you brought in that music analogy,
Would
because it really is present to
you
this
say
conversation.
that in a sense, one way to look at disease is your orchestral piece has become too narrow?
That could be a very valid way to look at it. Narrow might be one word choice to
Yes, it's
use.
a
It,
funny, I was thinking about that word, yeah.
yeah, I might choose a few others depending on the person, but yes, the
Me
orchestral
too,
piece.
yeah.
What was that?
There's also rigid.
A rigid,
Like,
yes.
I'm only going to play the oboe.
Yes, and I actually feel that rigid narrow can be valid too, because narrow, I
Yeah.
look at the eyes and our vision, and often there's a narrow vision. And what I do in my work is expand the brain's capacity and the body's capacity to open to new possibilities and to see new horizons, new colors, new frequencies. And so, yeah, narrow, expanding that. But also, if you look at rigid, I think that's another wonderful word, because the nervous system is often locked into space, place. And same with the actual physical structure of the body. There's often holding and tension and clenching. And with certain practices, emotional freedom practices, somatic practices, movement practices that are tailored to that individual, there's a fluidity that comes into the body, and everything flows more easily when we can open up that energy. And that's why I love working with the meridians, the energetic meridians, those energetic channels in the body that we know from ancient Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine that allow the stagnant channels to become actual forces for life and fluid movement. And so opening up, destagnating, allowing rigidity to become fluidity is at the fundamental core of what it's like to move from dis-ease to ease.
So how do you do that with people? How do you take them from this sort of stagnant, rigid, again, it's true, rigid may be a, you know, if you're floppy, rigid is good. But it can be too much rigid.
Exactly. And so it really is on a spectrum. And I love that you brought that in, that it's not necessarily trying to rid the body of one way of being. Because if our bones weren't rigid, they wouldn't be performing their particular unique function. And so rigidity has its place. And the idea of the work that I do is knowing what is called for in the moment, or knowing what is called for a particular structure or form or life season. For example, I'm thinking of children versus adults. And I know in the clinic there are people with families that are bringing their kids as well. And I do have a background not only in helping adults through everything from ancient Ayurveda to modern functional nutrition to the energetics of the body. I also have work in the perinatal phase. And we do know in certain seasons of growing a human and then in early childhood that building like an anabolic approach to life is so important. And yet, if there's a certain condition of excess growth in the body, then we need to bring in some more catabolic approach. And the same is true with rigidity or fluidity. And so part of it is listening to the story of the body in front of us. And I know that's something that you do exquisitely well in the clinic, which is one of the reasons I'm excited to be a synergistic component to this team, because we're looking for where is the balance. It's not like one is bad or wrong. It's simply an expression, and it may be an invitation as well. And so I'm looking for the invitation of the person in front of me or the group of where can we move toward greater ease? And that usually starts with safety. So foundational to my work is creating safety in the body, because a body that does not feel safe is not one that's going to heal, grow, and transform. When we can allow the nervous system to shift out of that fight or flight or freeze response into more of a rest, digest, heal response, then anything is possible. So that's foundational. How do I create safety? And a lot of what I do, and this is one of my primary offerings in the clinic, is create a container of safety through engaging with the body. And that's why I love emotional freedom techniques, EFT or tapping, because as we're talking or feeling an emotion or an experience, when we can bring our fingertips to the body, we start to reestablish that connection. And connection is very healing. It creates safety and understanding. And it sends a message to the amygdalas, a message to the brain that, okay, I can turn off the danger response. And when I can do that, when I can relax, then suddenly I start to see new things. I start to see things that are creative or beautiful or possible in my life. And so
So it's sort
one
of
it,
like taking it from a where you're just thinking about being safe or even just feeling about it to actually connecting it with, okay, I have a feeling and I'm here, like I'm actually here.
yes, and I love that you use the word here, because I use that a lot, here and now. And here we can look at HERE, like I'm here, I'm present in the body, and a present state in the body is a healing state. We can be in the present moment. A dis-ease or imbalance state is usually in the past or the future. And so this here now, and then when we're in the here now state, we can also hear, HEAR. We can hear the communication of our body. We can hear our orchestra, even if it's just one instrument at first. And so in that here now present state, that's where we're able to heal and connect. And as you were talking, one analogy or metaphor came to mind, because it really is about context. And so, for example, if you're looking at the night sky, it could be, wow, there's this big expanse of black, dark scariness overhead that all that surrounds me. And in a nervous system, a state of nervous system hypervigilance or charge or arousal, that could be scary. There's an unknown here, there's darkness here, and there are these random flashes of light or points, and I can't understand them. I can't make sense of them. And my role as a guide, someone who can create that safe container, bring us back to the present here now in the body, is to then say, oh, actually, maybe I can open to the possibility that this is a breathtaking masterpiece, and that those dots in the sky are actually constellations that are connected and they're creating shapes, and I can see the shapes and I can see new shapes and open to the creative capacity that's in front of me. And even if it's unknown, I can press toward the unknown with creativity and curiosity. And
Yeah.
that's really how the human being is designed to function, with that place of curiosity and the drive toward moving toward rather than contracting and retreating away from.
The power of wonder, I've sometimes called that. So, but yes, if you feel safe, you can, then even if it was not what you expected, like, like I t when I show people there's no virus, it's just like, oh, where am I? So, oh, it's okay. Just come back to yourself. You're okay. Now, what does the world look like? Oh, it looks actually a lot safer, less scary. And I don't have to worry about going to Aunt Bessie's house or something.
Exactly. And so it's quite miraculous what can happen when you create that safe container. And so that's fundamental to my role as a practitioner, is to create the space for then those breakthroughs, those insights to happen. Part of it, again, is providing tools and strategies. And so EFT, which members will know as they come to these group classes that we'll be offering, is quite simple. It often looks a little silly, even. We're tapping on the body in certain ways. It's like, how can this simple, silly-looking
Yeah,
technique
right.
affect so many changes? And yet we know, for those who do like more of the scientific evidence-based research, that it is one of the most effective and most extensively researched methods in the entire field of psychology. And it's not just psychology that's having implications. It also has very real physiological benefits, and it's being recommended as a primary tool, having a fundamental place in hospitals, clinics, and treatment centers. And so it makes sense that there is something that is working here, and there's something that has a lot of potential that is the next wave, the new wave of biology or evolution as living organisms in a planet that's changing. And one thing that I love about it is that it's so self-empowering. And so when we come together in these groups, I'm teaching, I'm guiding you through a process where you're tapping on your own body. And as you tap on your own body, you reestablish communication with your unique vessel. And so my words may be guiding an entire group, and it could be 10 people, it could be 1,000 people, and they're all having a unique experience collectively. And that's part of the power in it, that you
Yeah.
can self-empower by tapping on your own body, reestablishing that fundamental connection to your own orchestra, start to hear in the here now present tense what your bodies communicate, start to make connections because your mind is feeling safe and you're able to see the expansive night sky. And as you're doing that, other people are doing the same. And we're creating this field where there's greater safety, there's greater connection, and it's exponential. When people come together in the group setting, that, wow, suddenly shares start to piggyback off of each other, and people start to have new insights. And it creates this dynamism of transformation that I haven't seen paralleled in a lot of other healing spaces. And so I do consider this somatic-based group experiences as one of the most fundamental to shifting us at a faster pace. And people will see things improve rapidly with tapping. I used to do protocols when I was practicing more as a health practitioner. I used to do protocols. It's like, do this for 90 days and follow this regimen and take these supplements. And that gets us so far. And it can be exactly what some people need. And yet, with one session or one group experience with people, they might get the one thing they need to shift everything in their worldview and allow them to step into that new identity, that new possibility for themselves, and that changes everything. And so it's really quite phenomenal to be in that kind of environment where we can curate the context for transformational space or transformational opportunities in a very compressed time period.
You know, it's interesting because my gig has always been like talking at people. Or, and when it kind of goes bad, it's like convincing them, right? So I give you people evidence and think of it like this. And over the years, I've gotten less convincing energy and more just I'll say what I think and you can do whatever you want with it kind of thing. But I can well imagine that this kind of group process allows people to see in a way that I don't have access to with giving them these string of words. Because they, you know, I'm just working through one kind of concept, whereas, and it's not connecting with the body, and that which is the part that knows, right? So your mind is always maybe, maybe not, you know, I don't really know or whatever. So yeah, this is we talk about, you know, helping people see different concepts or get, and it may be that there's a whole nother approach to this, is what like what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I love that you brought in the word knowing and seeing. And that really is part of my role as a facilitator and a guide, is to invite someone to tap into their own knowingness and learn how to trust it. Because inherently, we do know. And part of it is asking the right questions, holding the space for the person, and then reflecting back the unique string of words and expressions such that the person says, ah, oh, my knowingness is accurate. I can trust it again. And then the seeing expands from there, because they're able to see something differently about themselves, which allows them to see something differently about the world. And then the magical relationship is then the world sees them differently. And there's that dynamic exchange, that synergism that happens when we see differently. And then the seeing gets reciprocated in a different way. And that's why it's so important to bring in the body and bring in this deeper capacity for knowing and seeing. And I'm definitely right there with you. Earlier in my career, I thought, you know, I would give them enough information, I would share
Yeah, I
enough,
told them all.
all sorts of things. And then I realized that's actually not moving the needle in the way curiosity and the capacity to let the body speak does. And so I invite a framework in which nothing is bad or wrong or repressed or shamed, or even a perspective where there's nothing that needs to be fixed or changed. And when there's that permissive field where everything is part of the everything is invited to the table, everything has a role and a voice, suddenly people realize, wow, I can pick and choose, and I can take some sovereign agency over this experience and the identity that I create for myself and my understanding of the world. And that permission field is another big component of how I bring in these somatic practices, because from that lens of curiosity and permission and allowing the client or the group to speak into and co-create the experience, that's where we get something that none of us expected. And part of my role, I say this quite often, is that I get to be a miracle worker. I see miracles happen all the time in the spaces that I create. I also do deep dive, like transformational retreats with intimate groups of people. And in those spaces, you see it happen in real time, that we get to see miracles because we're co-creating a unique moment in time that allows each individual to get what he or she needs and then to offer it back to the collective. And there's something that's really needed in this time in history. And that's something that certainly the New Biology Clinic offers.
Great. Well, I think that's actually a good stopping point, because that sounds wonderful. I'm so glad that to have you part of what we're doing here. And there's obviously we could go on for hours talking about this, but I think people get a sense, and I really hope that everybody who's a member checks out one of your classes and gives it a try. It's very exciting. It sounds so much like another way of describing what I've been struggling, you know, and trying to say with this new biology, that there is a whole new world. We are at the cusp of going into a new world of medicine and biology. And I think what you're doing is really, really right along that line. So it's great to have you.
Thank you, Tom. And I would second that this really is an invitation to step into the hope that we have for creating a new story, that we get to be both participants and also authors and creators of this new dynamic, where we can live into a new relationship with medicine and health and wellness and vitality, and creating a community that we have not yet experienced. So thank you for leading the way. Thank you for allowing me to answer the call by joining this community and to offer my wisdom and expertise. And I look forward to interacting with all of the members in a way that is life-giving for everyone.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, Stacy. I think so. Everybody, check it out. And thanks for joining me. And yeah, we will be in touch. Thank you.